Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. You can promote your confessional Lutheran church and support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining our congregational sponsorship program, the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. You'll find an informational flyer on the support page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline, the Issues Etc. 300.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Well, so what do we do with this very famous woman from Judges? Now, the fact that she falls in the early chapters of the book of Judges ought to tell us something. Deborah, there she is in chapters 4 and 5. What do we do with her, if not what, well, liberal Bible scholarship has done for about the last 100, 150 years, which is say, well, here's a great example of why women ought to be pastors in the Christian church. You got Deborah, she's a prophetess. If she can be a prophetess, then certainly a woman can be a pastor in the New Testament. And if Deborah can be a prophetess and some hypothetical woman could be a pastor in the New Testament, then couldn't any woman be a pastor in the New Testament? It's the kind of question that might even come up in a Sunday school classroom. We're going to be talking about it as we teach a Sunday school lesson. Deborah, the prophetess in Judges, chapters 4 and 5. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back to Issues Etc.
No, thanks very much.
Tom, you've spent probably, 45 years of your pastoral ministry as an avocation dealing with higher criticism. You were essentially spoon-fed this stuff during your years at Concordia Seminary in the classroom and had to deal with it there and afterwards. The argument's often made that Deborah is a closed case for pastors being women. What's your response?
The term prophetess is different than the term pastor. In other words, there are more than one prophetesses in the Bible. Deborah is one of them. And then you also have Miriam. She's talked about as a prophetess, the mother of King Lemuel in Proverbs 31, verse 1, Isaiah's wife. And then in the New Testament, Anna is required or spoken of as a prophetess, as well as the daughters of Philip. And yet it is in the New Testament that Paul makes it very clear that those who need to be an overseer, which just so happens to be the epistle reading for this coming Sunday, needs to be the husband of one wife. And so he makes it very clear that men alone are allowed to be pastors, even though God does set up others as prophets or prophetesses. Many of the prophets in the Old Testament were not pastors. So we need to make that clear distinction between the two. And I don't see any problem with Deborah being regarded as a prophetess rather than as a pastor.
Even then, do we also need to at least note the fact that Deborah as a prophetess, and there's no denying that, is something of an exception. It's not as though we got 50% female prophets and 50% male prophets in the Old Testament.
Yes, particularly in the book of Judges, chapter 4, verse 4 just begins. Now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was judging Israel at that time. And there's no information in the scripture how God called her into that position, but clearly that was her position and office at the time that the tragedy was occurring due to Jabin, king of Canaan.
So what did it mean that she was judging Israel?
It meant that she was given authority by God to deal with the situation that had to be done, particularly as a prophetess. She was one, according to Exodus 7, who speaks on behalf of another. And she was speaking, therefore, on behalf of God. because she even made some predictions that came true when the leader in Israel at that time, who was to fight against the enemy, he kind of became cowardice in saying, okay, I'll go fight against him, but you need to be with me, Deborah. And then Deborah made the point that therefore a woman will be considered as the victor over these evil Canaanites.
And what's her point there? Why does she say at pains to say that?
Simply because at that point, the individual who was asked by God to go ahead and defeat the evil Canaanites, and his name was Barak, he became hesitant to do so, which means he either had a lack of faith or he wanted to make sure that Deborah was speaking for God. Because going against these folks, Jabin, king of Canaan, he had not only a large army, but they were with iron chariots, which the Israelites didn't even have until the time of the kings. And so from a human point of view, it just seems ridiculous that Israel was going to be able to defeat the Canaanites.
So this is one of those perfect situations where the Israelites are kind of back where they were before they entered the land, and those 12 spies go in, the 10 come out, and their consensus is, against the two who thought they ought to go right in, their consensus is, we're not going to win this. And this is the same kind of spirit at work.
Yes, but throughout the book of Judges, and it was well said by the Growing in Christ series, that God uses laughable weaponry to defeat the enemy. And we're going to see that in this particular incident of how this occurred. You see, the book of Judges has a cycle of five R's. We like to refer to that. The people rebel against God. Then God brings retribution upon them. And that was, in this case, Jabin, king of Canaan. The people repent. There is a rescue by one of the judges, and in this case, it's going to be Deborah and another woman. And then there's a rest for a period of time, about 40 years. But then the cycle starts over again. The people rebel. There's retribution, repentance, rescue, and rest. That's the book of Judges. And we're taking a look at the occasion when Deborah and another woman become the heroes or heroines.
When we come back from this break, I will warn you folks, if you have small children listening, the story's kind of gross that's coming up on the other side of the break. It's a little graphic, kind of violent. So if you've got small children listening and you want to protect their sensibilities, you might want to tune away and listen on demand. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson, Deborah the Prophetess in Judges chapters 4 and 5. Tom is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. You'll find a link to Law and Gospel at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. At Concordia University Irvine, you can pursue advanced theological study for academic, professional, or personal development. Concordia's Master of Arts in Theology program is grounded in the truth of Scripture and insights from the Lutheran Confessions. Courses are taught online and at intensive on-campus sessions in the summer. Apologetics, Christian education leadership, and Reformation studies are just a few of the emphases offered. For more information, visit cui.edu/theology.
The 500th anniversary of the Reformation approaches. A good time to ask, who are we as confessional Lutherans? What's our heritage? The Confessional Lutherans for Christ Commission has produced the Layman's Guide to Theological History. Go to theclcc.org and see which of these presentations and books would be most helpful to you and your fellow parishioners. And consider becoming a member with us as the CLCC seeks to help more people know what it means to be a confessional Lutheran. theclcc.org.
Continuing education for the confessional Lutheran. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to 8th grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
Do you find yourself fixing the theology on store-bought greeting cards when you give them to friends and family? Put away that Sharpie. EdGruesome.com has greeting cards, art, jewelry, certificates, church banners, housewares, and all sorts of fantastic gifts that proclaim Christ crucified for us. Whether you're a value shopper or a collector, you'll find something at EdGruesome.com. That's ADCRUCEM.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson today, Deborah the Prophetess, in Judges 4 and 5. Now, the story that follows here doesn't involve Deborah per se, but in fact, another woman in this battle. The battle goes pretty well, but picking up there in about verse 17 of chapter 4, there's the story of another woman's decisive involvement in this battle. It's not on the battlefield. It's in the leader's tent.
Yes, but just before that, Todd, we need to understand what happened on the battle. Here are all these chariots, and they go down to the plain, because on the plain, they can really get around. Israel is coming against them. What does God do? He not only has a shaking of the ground, probably an earthquake, but he allows a rain to come that overflows normally a shallow river, and the chariots can't operate. In fact, what happens, the horses get very upset and they break away from the chariots. And then here's all this army without chariots, mired in mud, and the Israelites defeat them. Now, Sisera, who is the general of the Canaanite army, he flees. And he flees to a home of someone who had made an agreement with the Canaanites to be, you know, one with them. So he thought he was safe in this home, but there was a woman there who was the wife of the husband. Her name is Jael. Well, what happens? She pretends to take care of him. She covers him with a rug. And then he says, I'm thirsty. Rather than giving him water, she gives him milk, which makes him sleepy. He goes to sleep, and this is the part for the children, where she takes a piece of wood and puts it through his skull and puts him to death. Now, what I find really interesting there, here is this great officer, and guess what happens to him? He dies by a piece of wood done by a woman. Well, that reminds me, there was a woman named Mary who had a child. And he was put on a piece of wood, and our enemies, the devil and all his minions, were defeated by Jesus being on a piece of wood. And remember that water that came over the plain that made the chariots impossible to be driven properly? Guess what? They too, that water comes to us in the waters of baptism. And we are saved by water baptism, just as the water was used by God in a flood in Noah's day to defeat the enemy. So the Canaanites were defeated. And then a woman, as Deborah had promised, is given credit for the death of the Canaanite general. And then it wasn't long after that the people of Israel went ahead and defeated Jabin, king of Canaan, burned his city, and they therefore went into rest for 40 years until once more the people became rebellious. And then we're going to pick that up with the judge named Gideon next week.
Now, I note here in verse 23, after the account of this woman essentially executing the general in his tent while he slept, it says in verse 23, on that day God subdued Jabin, the king of the Canaanites, before all the people of Israel.
That is something that every believer understands, because another chapter as part of the Sunday school lesson is chapter 5. Where Deborah and Barak, remember, he was the one that was hesitant to go in, that they then began to sing a song, and listen what they said, that the leaders took the lead in Israel, that the people offered themselves willingly, bless the Lord. And the entire chapter 5 gives all credit to the Lord God for defeating the Canaanites. Yes, God uses prophets and prophetesses and pastors and elders and all kinds of laity, men and women, to defeat the work of Satan today. And that is done in the Holy Christian Church as a proper divine worship service is prepared so that our babies may be baptized with water. Adult confirmants may come into the church through water baptism. And then, remember, an uncommon thing, bread and wine gives us the assurance of salvation. So when you read Deborah, the big point that is to be made here is that God will use anybody in order to achieve his purposes. The least likely people and the least likely ways, a piece of wood by a woman takes care of the enemy. A piece of wood that Satan used to crucify Jesus also takes care of the enemy, where Satan is crushed even though he bruises the Messiah through the crucifixion.
The whole story is retold in a song form, a song attributed to Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinoam there, and it tells the whole story, including that execution of the Canaanite general.
Yes, verse 24, most blessed of women be Jael, the wife of Heber the Canaanite, of twin-dwelling women most blessed. And then it goes through, he asked water, she gave him milk. And then she sent her hand to the tent peg and her right hand to the workman's mallet and crushed his head. And, well, what's kind of interesting, you almost feel bad about this until the next verse talks about the mother of Sisera, who, of course, had been killed. She's waiting for her son's return, and you feel a little bad until her women friends say, well, the reason he's taking so long is he has to really abuse the women in Israel, etc. And we begin to see the real hatred toward Israel, the true God, and we can understand why God was ridding the land of the Canaanites, who not only did not trust God, but were very evil also even toward infant children. Because of their god Baal, who's supposed to be able to handle the weather, and he couldn't even stop a rainstorm, which defeated the chariots because they couldn't work in mud.
So this is a story that the Sunday school teachers are going to need to approach with a little delicacy, and they're going to need to tell this story in a way that doesn't, because of it's sensational, doesn't distract from the main point here. How would you, in a simple way, summarize that main point for the Sunday school teachers as they prepare to go in and teach this very interesting story of Deborah the prophetess and the death of this Canaanite general to the kids?
Yes. There are youth who do not think they're good enough to be confirmed. Maybe they don't like doing the memorization that's necessary. They may not know all the answers. But the point we would want to make to the children is that you don't have to achieve a certain level of intelligence and understanding of the scripture, except for the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, and he may choose you. I was watching a volleyball game recently where some older girls at the parochial school were doing overhead when they were shooting the volleyball across the net, and that really surprised me. And I was told later by the coach that not many years ago, even underhand, they couldn't even get the volleyball to reach the net. So the point I'm making is you don't know how God is going to use you in preparing you to do his work in the world and in the church. And that's where our trust needs to be. If he can take a Deborah and defeat a huge enemy, he can take you as a child and defeat the devil in all that he does.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, thank you very much for being our guest.
And thank you so much.
We base our conversations on Growing in Christ, a Sunday school curriculum from Concordia Publishing House. They would be happy to send you a free sample of Growing in Christ. Just give them a call, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Live Tuesday on Issues Etc., we're going to look forward to Sunday morning talking with Dr. Carl Fikencher about the rich man and Lazarus, an interesting parable, maybe not so much a parable told by Jesus. And we'll continue our series on Martin Luther and the Reformation with Dr. Ken Sherb and our series Worldview Watch with Pastor Jonathan Fisk. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.